Hello, this is Joe Francica of Directions Media. Welcome to an LBS360.net podcast. Today we'll be speaking with Tasso Roumeloidis, who is the founder and CEO of Wave Market Incorporated, a location-based services technology provider. Tasso, thanks for joining me on this interview today. Since Wave Market is really very closely attached to the mobile location-based space, in particular providing some of the wireless carriers with technology, maybe you can start off by giving me an overview of where they are in this space, in particular since there seems to be a lot of emphasis on the navigation aspect, not so much on social networking and friend finder applications. They seem not to have brought that to market. I know that your particular expertise may be in some of those areas where there's not so much buzz right now.
Yeah, sure. So as you said, navigation has definitely been the focus of the operators, and you just have to watch the television commercials to see that. I will say that the definitely an emerging category where we're extremely happy with the results are the family locator space, and we think that's, you know, the strong number two application from what we've seen. And this is a product we've launched with Sprint, we've launched with Bell Mobility up in Canada, we recently launched with Vivo down in Brazil, and we expect to have, you know, many more launches kind of across the world for this application that revolves around not social networking, but around parents being able to find their kids and set up safety checks, make sure the latchkey kid gets home on time at 3 o'clock. Very much a location communicative application between parents and kids. 72% of all interactions between parents and kids, the single topic is where are you? So this is really a killer application for an immense market that we think in the long run is bigger than navigation. And that's where we've been investing a vast majority of our product efforts, and that's where we're going to be having a ton of deployments coming up. The other big thing that we've done in that particular vertical is our recent announcement of the deal with the Amber Foundation. This is what we're going to be launching with them. Is going to be across all carriers, hopefully all carriers, obviously, but something that'll be marketed correctly by arguably one of the top most recognized names for families in terms of safety, an application that that does the things that I mentioned and things that we're good at, which is connecting parents and kids through location.
Yeah, maybe you can go into some detail about the AmberWatch mobile service. Who's going to carry it? How will people sign up for that? And
currently discussions ongoing in terms of who's going to carry it. We have very high hopes that everybody's going to want to participate. It's for obviously a phenomenal cause, and there's going to be great education, and we think it's a net social positive for the country. I will say that the product, the way we're going to we're looking to launch into the marketplace is to make it very easy for consumers to get it regardless of which carrier you're on. You just go to amberwatchmobile.com is going to be the entry point. So whatever, however it's marketed, we want to make it really easy for users to just go to a website effectively, and we can help you walk through the process of getting the service through there. All the permissions, the strict privacy, all that stuff, we're going to be managed, but via the AmberWatch mobile service. We're going to try and make sign up secure, but also manageable for the parents.
So can you tell me what it might cost for somebody, or is that yet to be determined?
It's yet to be determined, but it's going to be in the same price range as the other family locator products. You know, we're not looking to, do any kind of a low-cost option here. We think that there's real value here for the parents, and there's willingness to pay, and that's been reflected in both the pricing, the price points of the service and the uptake. So we're not going to, we're going to stay pretty steady with that.
Yeah, I mean, security is really a big issue for people, and it's one of the top issues of why, somebody would buy a cell phone to begin with. Is there...
It was a major issue back in the day. I mean, that was the reason you bought a cell phone. Security created the mobile industry. We should not forget that. And is the number one reason why a parent would buy an 8-year-old a phone. So... or a 9-year-old. So as we start to move our penetration rates down from the 12, 11-year-olds to the 10, 9, 8, and 7s, I mean, my daughter, who's had family locator since she was 6, we use it all the time. It is the message, more than calling her, where we communicate with her. So this is the reason why you get your kid a phone, especially for parents who are very averse to their kids growing up, quote-unquote, too fast, and getting into text messaging. This is the flip side. This is one of the great reasons to get a mobile phone.
You know, there were a couple companies that started that a while ago. I remember Wearify was one of them. It seemed to be they were ahead of their time, and maybe it wasn't until the big carriers got into the business that became more of a recognizable application. Do you see now that you know the carriers have finally latched on to that and say, okay, well, you know, navigation was first, now Friend Finder or Family Finder is second?
Yeah, I want to separate Friend Finder and Family Finder. Finder is about safety and it's something that parents and in general, I think society is embracing, wants, and is going to be a huge net positive. Friend Finder, which is another area that we have a big expertise on, I think is a fantastically desired application for the youth demographic, but there are privacy concerns that need to be overcome for that specific application. So I do want to have a clear delineation because they are antitheses of each other in a lot of ways, especially from a security perspective. It's a kind of opposite. It's black and white. But to answer your question on the family locator side, you know, I think that, you know, where the Wearify situation was, is it's very difficult to build a consumer brand. Well, I think they faced two problems. One is there was a hardware to distribute, and the costing of that hardware to include GPS was not at the level which it was not at the low cost option as it is right now. I mean, effectively, you think about it, you're getting the GPS on some of the carriers for free. It's just in your phone already. So to pay $10 a month on a Sprint family locator versus going out and having to pay a bundle for a device, a custom device that just does this, plus an additional monthly fee of upwards of $30, $40, that was, due to their cost economics, I think too high for the marketplace. And then you have to build a brand. So it was one of those, I think you're right, I think they were ahead of their time. And I think that's the issue. And that's why our approach in working with the Amber Foundation is to work with folks who are either have existing brands or have the ability to acquire customers through their relationships with parents who are the ones who would buy this application.
Yeah, so you brought up an interesting point about, of course, many of the carriers, the phones have a GPS chip embedded in them. Is that going to be the catalyst that will allow these types of applications to take off? Because otherwise, you're looking at a network location determination solution, not as accurate, obviously, as having GPS or assisted GPS.
Well, so I absolutely think that LBS is a function of GPS deployment, a complete function. I will say that some of the triangulation technology does a couple things for you, though. It works indoors, and if you can get the radius down to, you know, 100 meters, that is sometimes good enough for a parent to know. In the case of the child safety application, it's good enough for the parent to know the kids at home, actually. So there are some advantages of the triangulation technologies, but all in all, it's going to be all about GPS. We should just face that reality. And the carriers' investments in deploying these services is a function of whether they've launched GPS or not. So that's the reality of the situation. I'm still high on some of these triangulation technologies. They work fine. They work really well, actually, for the child locator service.
You know, I'm just curious about, you know, when are we going to see full utilization of GPS and the phones, and whether the carriers are going to roll out every phone with a GPS chip. I don't have any knowledge of that. I wonder if you did.
Well, I mean, look, thanks to Qualcomm, the CDMA handsets all have GPS on them. So every phone that rolls off the assembly line for Sprint and Verizon and Altel and U.S. Cellular in the United States and Metro PCS, all CDMA operators, those phones have GPS on them. Now, what percentage of them are being activated for commercial purposes? That's the inflection point that I think we've actually surpassed, and we're facing very high growth, where I think the majority of these phones that are being launched are, you know, GPS enableable. So I think that is the catalyst. The GSM side, GSM that is, it's a different story. Obviously, they've got more to overcome, but right now it's a very much obviously a CDMA game.
What do you think the penetration rates are going to be for the Family Finder? Do you think that that's going to be either a huge catalyst for somebody to buy immediately if they're buying, say, an add-on phone? And do you hear anything, you know, about what we may see in the next year in terms of, you know, penetration of that type of an application?
We talk to customers. They tell us all the time that they've switched from one carrier to another because of the Family Locator product was not available on the comparable GSM operator. We hear that all the time. So the demand is huge. And I think penetration rates are a function of price of pricing. I do think of the percentage of households that are applicable for this, which is, you know, a very high percentage of the total U.S. population. I fully expect that, you know, we're going to, you know, we can, with the correct marketing, get to, you know, 25% of the households wanting this application. It, the demand for it goes across the board, across all different kinds of, you know, people from all different socioeconomic backgrounds.
So it sounds like, you know, you don't have to do a lot of selling, that is the main catalyst for buying that. So I guess what I was going to ask you was, you know, do you have to sweeten the offer with anything else, personal concierge, you know, navigation, POI finder, that type of thing?
There are definitely embellishments you can do on the application. We're investigating some of that. But the fundamental service of a parent being able to, you know, check in pretty quickly and make sure the kid is where they're supposed to be, or to, for their kid to be able to, you know, send a quick location update that they're at this park with this friend, so don't worry about me. So, you know, it's like the security thing. It's like, you know, you're offering roadside assistance. Well, do you want to find where, you know, restaurants are nearby? Well, it could be a nice embellishment, but that fundamental service that the parents are looking for is good enough to drive to drive them to pay the amount.
So let me go to the other application. Let me go to the friend finder. You know, that doesn't seem to have had the pickup. You know, it looks like a cool application to begin with, but don't you also have to have opt-in, you know, by the rest of their friends in your network, and they have to have your, you know, same network carrier. So, you know, there seems to be some hurdles in that application.
Yeah, and I will step back and say that the application has immense potential. There's no doubt about that. Immense potential. The barriers are ones that have been stated by lots of folks. One is the cross carrier elements and getting privacy in cross carrier. I think we all know that location data is perhaps the second most secure or private data in a carrier's network after the billing records. Whereas, so to get that cross-carrier functionality similar to what we got with the SMS interoperability is not necessarily going to happen really, really quickly. And the other issue that you face with the social networking side is that the GSM operators, which account for obviously what is it, close to 50 or greater than 50% of the installed base of the country, don't have any GPS yet, really, with the exception of the BlackBerry 8800s, which is not a youth device. So when you're looking to build network effects off of location, when half the population is completely dismissed, and among the other carriers, the other two that have launched location, or the big two that have launched location, Sprint and Verizon, there's no interoperability. It's difficult to build network effects off of that. So as high as I am on the application, there's a lot of, you know, trailblazing that needs to get done to set up the infrastructure for location-based social networking to succeed.
Is it still going to be an advertising-based model, or, you know, are the carriers just looking at minutes? What's the business model for the friend finder?
Well, you know, the business models for friend finders that have been launched are pay-for applications, so whatever, around $3 a month. And that's the pricing points that I've seen them across the board. We should keep in mind the carrier has a cost of goods sold for location, so every time they do a GPS fix, there is cost that they have to pay for the most part, with some exceptions. So, you know, it's unclear whether it's going to happen, and, you know.
Well, like you said, it's an increasingly hot market. I mean, all you have to do is look at the stock prices of somebody like a Garmin or even Navtec these days.
Unbelievable. I mean, which raises the next question of you know, the sustainability of that market capitalization as these applications start to become really well marketed into the carriers. And you already have a phone, you can get a navigation system on your phone for $9.99 a month. Don't have to go out and spend $300, $400, or $500 for a device. So a navigation in general is white hot. There's no doubt about that, as is all location services. But there's still a lot of market opportunity.
Yeah, and so some of that opportunity really is in the device itself.
Yeah, I'm of the belief that your phone becomes that device. I think, having spent a lot of time with the iPhone, and not to overhype a hype product, a dazzling product, by the way, you see how bringing together a bunch of things on one device done correctly is killer, and why would you ever carry another device? So I do believe that UI disciplines will improve on phones, and they will become the center of of all mobile consumption, whether it's, you know, tracking my kids, navigation, a running meter, that feeds my running track into a Google Map on the web, you know, that I can share with friends. All those services, I think, will converge to a mobile phone over time, rather than separate devices. I'm definitely leaning strongly that way, but the future will prove me right or wrong.
So you like the iPhone. You weren't disappointed they didn't have a GPS chip in the iPhone.
Of course I was disappointed they didn't have a GPS, but hopefully in the future versions they will. I mean, imagine that screen. You stick a GPS on there, that becomes a navigation device. So that navigation device, I think the mean price is probably $400. The iPhone's $500, right? Perhaps, whatever. There's an extra $60, $70 for the, I don't even know if it's that high, but for the NavTech data, and then you can get a full navigator on that on that device. I mean, think about that. That's dangerous, and
yeah.
Got to be an area. You know, you have to assume that the folks in Cupertino are looking at that market, saying all we're doing is riding a ton of value for little incremental cost, pretty much all margin to us, and another reason for you to get this device.
So where's Wave Market's next adventure?
Look, so we're looking to become the ubiquitous family locator company in the Americas. That's our number one strategic goal. And we're not taking our eye off the ball on that. So with Amber, there's a bunch of other stuff that we have going on that you'll be hearing about in the next couple of months. In addition to Amber, we think it's a great market. And we've definitely have emerged in from a leadership perspective. We're investing a lot in product. We've got some phenomenal features coming up that users are loving. And we want to get Family Locator launched on every operator in the Americas. That is our fundamental strategic goal, primarily the United States. And we think that is the step that takes Wave Market to really the next level.
Well, great. Thanks, Tessa. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and get some more information about where you're headed.
Yeah, no, it was my pleasure.